Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
You know, Good Friday is called Good Friday all over the world. For, I suppose, thousands of years, no one has ever really come up with a reason or a good story as to how it began. I tried to do my research and find out why is Good Friday called Good Friday. And there was so many different versions of why we call Good Friday, Good Friday. And tonight I thought I want to take a few moments in the remaining time that we have together to explain to you my version of the story, why we call Good Friday, Good Friday. I know time is precious because we set ourselves to have an hour service this evening. But I felt like we do need God to guide us as we open His Word and study it together. So would you just very quickly bow down with me and say a quick prayer. Father, we just want to ask that You lead us in our time together as we open Your Word and study it together. Speak to us like only You can. Lord, we know we need to hear from You. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus had never been so afraid. Don't get me wrong, he was a courageous man. He was really, really brave. He faced 2,000 demons at one point. And he went head to head with the devil himself in the desert. The disciples, very experienced fishermen, they almost peed in their pants when they faced this really, really huge storm. And yet Jesus just slept right through it. Don't tell me Jesus was not courageous. Don't tell me Jesus was not a brave person. But Jesus had never been so afraid as that time when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew the reason why he came was to die on that cross. He was very clear on that. There was never a doubt in his mind why he came. He didn't come to show off his mighty power by doing all kinds of miracles. That's not the reason why he came. He came with a singular reason, and that reason is to die on that cross. He knew it right from the beginning. But still, when he finally had to cross that line, he was afraid like he was never afraid before. We read the story in the Garden of Gethsemane, written in all the four Gospels, in the Gospel of Matthew. It says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Now, Jesus had never done this before. If you read the Gospel carefully, every time Jesus prayed, unless it was a public prayer, he went to a solitary place to pray by himself, so that he could spend a private time with his Heavenly Father. But this time it was different. This time he couldn't pray by himself. This time he needed a company. This time he brought his closest friends along. And so he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He was sad. He was troubled. He was anxious in his heart, like he was never troubled before. I mean, he faced all kinds of challenges in his life, but he was never that sorrowful. He was never that troubled. He always had an answer to everything. Not this time. And then he said to his closest friends, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here with me and keep watch with me. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. That's the state that Jesus was in at the time. How many of you have been overwhelmed by something so heavy in your life that it seems like you are dying? That dying is probably a better option at that point. That was exactly what Jesus felt at the time. And you think about it, how could it be? He was God. We believe Jesus to be 100% God. Those of us who are followers of Him, we believe that Jesus created this whole world into being. This was Jesus we're talking about. He controlled creation. Why was he so overwhelmed? Think about it. Was he fearful of death? Was that it? What was it that caused Jesus to be so overwhelmed and anxious in his heart to the point of death? And then this is what he did. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground. And then he prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. And yet, not my will, but as you will." Do you believe it? Do you believe Jesus would say such a prayer? The very person who created the world into being with his words, with his mouth. Do you know that nothing that was ever created was created without Jesus? Paul said that in Colossians. Like, you know, Jesus was the creator of everything. He was right there from the beginning. How could from the same mouth that said, "Let there be light," now said, "Let this cup be taken away from me"? How can it be? How can it be? It's mind-boggling. I don't know the answer to that. See, if Jesus was fearful of death, you know, he could have done something about it, right? Like I said, he controlled nature. He can calm the storm. If he was scared of pain, he could give himself a heavenly epidural and he wouldn't feel any pain, right? He could have done that if he wanted to. But so why was he so fearful? Why was he so afraid? Why was he so anxious? You see, even though Jesus was 100% man, you have to remember that he was also 100%, even though he was 100% God, he was also 100% man. He was just like you, like me. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit through a virgin. That was his divinity part. And yet at the same time, he was 100% God. He's not like 50% God and 50% man. No, he was 100% God and he was also 100% man. He felt what you and I are feeling. He felt pain. He felt sadness. He felt anger. He was tired when he walked. He was just like you. He was just like me. He was no Superman. His blood was not green. His blood was red, like yours, like mine. So no wonder that Jesus, because he was 100% man, he could feel anguish. He could feel sorrow. And that's what he felt. And then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. And then Jesus said this, "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. And I don't think that was a statement of condemnation. I think it was just a statement of sadness from Jesus. And he still loved them. He still loved them. One by one, they abandoned him. One by one, including his closest friends. So he knew what was about to happen. He already predicted Peter. He was going to deny him, and finally the whole of his followers, disciples. So it was a statement of sadness on Jesus' part that this had to happen. Why you men couldn't even keep watch with me for 1 hour? And then he returned, and then he said, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, I had preached, I don't know how many Good Friday sermons in my life. I don't know how many Easter messages that I've preached. And then as I was preparing for this, I was reading that statement. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we all know it's referring to the disciples, right? I mean, there's nothing they would rather do than be with Jesus and supported Jesus in his darkest hours. I believe the disciples meant well, that they were there to support Jesus. But the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But could it be, this is just my theory, could it be that there's a double entendre here, that Jesus was actually referring to himself as well? Don't forget, he is 100% God and he's 100% man. Could it be that on his spirit, Jesus was ready to take on death? Jesus was ready to die on that cross. That's what he came here for. He knew it. But because he was man in the skin, in the flesh, like you and like me, in his identification with us, he realized the spirit is willing, but how weak is the flesh. And even Jesus had to fight his weak flesh. And that's why Jesus prayed again, because he knew he came too close to give up right now, all right? So that's why he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken unless I drink it, may your will be done." So he's like sucking up himself. He's no longer requesting right now. He's just making a statement. "I know it's impossible, but I'm just going to say it out loud. I know it's impossible, so bring it on," Jesus said. And then that was not enough. The third time, he said the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more, and then prayed the third time, saying the same thing, right? Saying the same thing. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine you're so overwhelmed with anguish to the point of your sweat actually has blood in it? There's a theory on that. You know, I was reading up on it. It's a rare condition called hematohidrosis. It's a condition in which the capillary blood vessels that feed the sweat glands rupture, causing them to exude blood, occurring under conditions of extreme physical or emotional stress. And yet, he went through it. How could Good Friday be good? Another reason why Good Friday was not good is because Jesus was betrayed by his own friend, Judas. For 30 pieces of silver, betrayed the master that he loved. I believe Judas genuinely loved Jesus. I really do. You can tell by what happened after. He actually threw away the 30 pieces of silver. So don't think of this black and white character where Judas was like just pure evil. He was not pure evil. He was just tempted by money, like many of us right now. Right? So while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" And then Judas, with that kiss, gave Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Can you imagine your best friend sold you out for just a little money? Another reason why Good Friday was not good. And then there was the unfair trial. At 2:00 that morning, can you imagine? Like, forget about the physical abuse that Jesus received during this time. But it was 2:00 in the morning. Jesus was taken to the high priest, who said to him, "I demand in the name of the living God to tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Can you see the irony in that? Like, he was the Son of God, and this pure, like mere mortal, puny man demanding something from the Son of God. And then Jesus replied, "You have said it. And there's something else that you don't know," Jesus said. "In the future, you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven." You know, at some point, I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey, but at some point, you need to make a decision for yourself who you believe Jesus is, right? Who do you believe Jesus is? And Jesus was very clear about his identity. He said, "You said it. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. And that's not all. I'm coming back again. I'm coming back again to get you." And then very early in the morning, this is about 5:00 in the morning now, this happened all night, the leading priests and the elders of the people met again to lay plans for putting Jesus to death. And they bound him, led him away, and took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. And then Pilate processed him for a little bit, and he didn't find anything wrong with him. So knowing that he was from Galilee, he kicked him out, he threw him to Herod. And Herod had a field day. Wow, this is what I wanted all along. So Herod had a bit of fun with Jesus. And then Herod kicked him back to Pilate. So that went on all night. And then finally, it was a custom during Passover for them to release a prisoner. The crowd were given a choice. Do you choose Barabbas, a well-known hated prisoner, or Jesus? It was no surprise. The crowd was so overtaken by anger, by lust, by I don't know what else. They all demanded, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. How can Good Friday be good? Then there was the obvious flogging and crucifixion of the Son of God. All the people answered, his blood is on us and on our children. We don't care. We don't care if we have to bear the sin. Release to us Barabbas. Release to us this prisoner. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. And then we know what happened next. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him naked. See, what you saw in the movie, Jesus was covered with cloth and all that, that was not biblical. The cross is a public shame for the worst of offenders, right? He was butt naked at the time. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him and they took the staff and struck him on the head again and again and again. And I want just to display that for a few moments and just, I want to let you soak in on that. That's your Jesus. That's my Jesus. That's your God and my God. Not some criminal, not some rapist, not some pedophile. The Son of God. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? I think I know why Jesus was in anguish and in sorrow. Jesus was not afraid of death. He was not afraid of the blood that he had to pour out. He wasn't afraid of the flogging. Jesus was the bravest of them all. You know what he was not looking forward toward? This part. See, from the beginning of time, the Son and the Father had never been separated. There was no such thing in the history of time. I and the Father are one. My food is to do the will of the Father who sent me. They were never separated right from the beginning of time, like right from eternity. But for the briefest moment in history, it had never happened before and will never happen again after. God the Father had to turn his face away from his beloved Son. He left his Son to be condemned on that cross. That's why Jesus was in anguish. That's why Jesus was fearful, because this had never happened before to him. But he was willing to go through that for you and for me. You know, when you go and buy a piece of jewelry, a diamond, at the jewelry store, you know what they did? They would show the diamond, and they usually put the diamond against some kind of dark piece of cloth, you know, dark velvet or something. You know why they did that? To show the beauty of that diamond. You need a black backdrop. You know why Good Friday is called Good Friday? It definitely was not good for Jesus. But the only way you and I can know the depth of God's love for us is when it is set against the darkest backdrop in human history, the darkest of them all, the crucifixion of God's own Son. That's why Paul said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. You know, in a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity. As far as I'm concerned, everybody will live eternally somewhere. That's what God's word says. The question is, are you on your way to being perished? Or are you on your way to spend eternity with God forever in heaven? The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Ah, stuff it. It's just a myth. That was not real. I don't need Jesus. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. One last verse for us. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were still sinners. Will you be willing, if you have a friend who was sick, would you be willing to lend $1,000 if he needed it? I think most of us would say yes. What if they need $10,000 and you have only $10,000 in your bank account? Would you give that $10,000 to your friend who really needed it? What if he needed your kidney? Would you give your kidney to your dying friend? What if he needed your eye? Would you give that to him or to her? Probably we said, oh, I'm not sure about that. And yet, God the Father, in His love for you and for me, He gave us Jesus. That is why Good Friday is good.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.